There is nothing worse than roommate drama. I'm sure that we've all had a real nightmare story to share from personal experience or a close friend's experience, but when Maribel Ramos let Casey Joy into her home and her life, she had no idea it would end in tragedy. I'm Christina.
And I'm Kristen.
And today, on the Real Crime Podcast, we will be covering the murder of Maribel Ramos at the hands of her roommate, Casey Joy. So most of you crime lovers are probably pretty familiar with this case, at least in name, but we wanted to kind of give you our take on the case. Now, Kristen, have you ever had any nightmare roommate drama before?
I feel like you're being sarcastic because you know I have.
What kind of stuff have you dealt with? Because I'll dish on some of my stuff.
Oh, well, she didn't pay her rent. We'll start there.
Right. There was that.
She brought a cat into our apartment that we
wasn't
were not
allowed
supposed to have cats.
Yeah,
and
wasn't
the landlord
pets.
Regularly did check-ins.
Awesome.
And her cat was not quiet. And what else did she do? She was into some weird like S&M stuff, so she would pour hot wax on herself and it got all over the walls.
Cool.
Which is impossible to get off of walls.
Yeah, no kidding.
What else?
I think that's enough. No, that covers it. Yeah.
A lot of debt she left me with.
No, that's fair. That was really shitty. And there's always, like, the financial burden and then, like, the emotional burden and stuff, too. Like, I moved out of a place when I was in college, and the girls that, because of, you know, like, roommate drama or whatever, and the girls, like, would let random people use my mattress, like, and bed and stuff that had been left behind. And so when I was finally, like, moving all of my stuff out, I found, like, used condoms, like, tucked behind the mattress.
Gross.
It was disgusting. It was absolutely disgusting.
It's really gross.
Yeah. I hated it. But anyway, I just kind of swore off roommates because, you know, I don't like living with people. Sometimes I struggle even loving, you know, living, not loving, living.
Wow.
Whoops. Sorry, baby. I love you.
Slip.
No, living with my husband and child, so.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that before we started recording.
Yeah.
We like our,
I like,
our
I like,
alone time.
Well, and I think it's because we're both technically introverts. I may be a more extroverted introvert, but I get my
recharge. You're a fake extrovert.
I am a fake extrovert because I get all of my recharge power from being alone and away from people. So I'm acting. So, yes. Well, let's go ahead and jump into this case because it is got some interesting twists and turns to it, to say the least. So Maribel Ramos was one of those wildly driven and goal-oriented people. She's basically the person that I want to be in life, but ADHD has me, like, super hyper scattered all the time to actually fully succeed in any one thing. So
just succeed a little bit in everything.
Exactly. I get, like, moderate success in a variety of places, which I just have to deal with. So from a really young age, she wanted to go into law enforcement, which is actually, like, a really honorable thing to stick with, in my opinion. I've always kind of felt that those people are a different breed. I mean, I think all kids at some point want to be a police officer, but it kind of quickly falls away and changes, but not for Maribel. Maribel joined the Army to get a jump start on her law enforcement goals. She spent 8 years in the military and even completed 2 deployments in Iraq. When she got out of the military, she started her degree at the Fullerton campus of California State University. She was 36 and felt like her life was just getting started on a brand new path. She was living with a roommate in Orange, California, and her excitement for life was palpable, but with all good things come some bad. Maribel had a boyfriend, Paul Lopez, but something tells me she liked her independence, so they weren't at a stage of living together just yet. Her roommate, Casey, was also a good friend for a very long time. He thought of her as a best friend, and in photos you can tell that, at least for a time, the two had a bond, albeit platonic, on Maribel's part. On May 3rd, 2013, Casey Joy called the police and reported that his roommate, Maribel, had never come home that night. By the time he called, it was mid-morning. It was definitely before noon, though.
Enough time to worry.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you hadn't seen someone since the night before, and you figure, oh, even if they ran out in the morning before you were up or something, you know, there's...
I feel like, I don't know, if I was living with someone that I was that close to, mm-hmm. I would be concerned way before then.
And, you know, in this circumstance... Or in a normal circumstance, yes, I would definitely say that's possible or plausible. There were some underlying things that we're going to get to in this mm-hmm. scenario that maybe didn't give Casey as much pause or cause for concern. But we'll get there. We'll get there, yeah. It was then brought to the police's attention that her family could not get a hold of her. And so in addition to Casey reporting that she just hadn't come home, family and friends couldn't get a hold of her. And she had missed a softball game that was like on the 3rd, and there had been no word from her, which is like super, super out of character. This was a really put together person.
She loved her softball games.
Yes, yes. In fact, the last time that Maribel had been seen was on a video surveillance shot of her dropping off the rent check for her apartment. Her car was still at her home, but her purse and her phone were gone. However, when she was called, she wasn't answering. Now, one of the last calls that she had answered was to her boyfriend, Paul. Police started to dig, and you know that they always look into the boyfriend, right? You know?
Of course.
Of course.
Why? I mean, yeah.
Right. They questioned Casey, and they questioned Paul because, you know, almost always someone super close to the person who's missing when there's an issue.
I mean, that's how you get all the information also.
Well, no, it's so true, because, like, you figure they're going to know, like, their moves, and if they were the last one who spoke to them, all right. of that kind of stuff. It's all going to come together. Paul actually told police that when he spoke with Maribel, she had been arguing with Casey. You see, he wasn't able to pay his rent that month, and she was really upset with him. This wasn't their first altercation either. In fact, in a previous argument, Maribel had phoned the police to tell them that she was afraid of her roommate, Casey. Gone were the days of those happy snapshots and photos of friendship. Things had definitely soured between the pair. In fact, this most recent altercation between Maribel and Casey that, you know, Paul had heard about on this phone call actually ended in Maribel telling Casey she wanted him out by the next day. She was done playing this game that he had started presenting to her. All this being said, Casey was the one who phoned in her disappearance. He was also cooperating with police and seemingly begging authorities to find her. Casey told the police that Maribel was his only constant in his life and he just wanted her home. During questioning, police noticed some scratches on Casey, but he explained that they were from some thorny bushes because, you know.
Because we go digging in those all the time.
Yeah, we just, you know. Always get ourselves stuck on some thorny bushes. It's cool. When asked about the disagreement, he admitted to the fact that they had fought, but told the police he left about 9 p.m. to go for a drive and clear his head, figure out what to do next. Then when he came back, Maribel was gone, and her purse and phone were also gone, so figured that she had done the same, stepped out just to clear her head. It wasn't until the next morning that he realized that she never made it back. The police kept Casey's phone and laptop so they could search them. But that isn't what really helped them in this case, which I thought was kind of interesting. It was actually the fact that they took those things away from him that sort of pointed them in the direction of what actually occurred here. Because it was Casey's use of another computer, one at the local library. That really kind of allowed them to gain some access into his current thought process. You see, without his regular access to his personal computer, he started going to the library where he would search things like, how long does it take a body to decompose?
Why would you do that?
Why does it matter? Like, you know, it's one of those things.
Obviously very anxious and nervous about,
of course,
what's to come, but.
But, like, don't Google that.
That's, like, very.
Don't do that.
First
rule of being a murderer. Exactly. First rule of being a murderer. Don't Google things like, how do you kill someone? Or how long does it take a body to decompose?
That's how you get caught.
Exactly. They will find it. Even if you delete everything, they will find it.
Nothing's ever deleted.
It's true. It's still out there in space. So then he started pulling up maps and zooming in repeatedly on one specific spot. On a hunch.
Also stupid.
No, honestly, it's really one of those, like, hey, people who are obviously watching and monitoring every single move that I make.
This is here she is.
Exactly. On a hunch, police searched the area he was zooming in on. It was an isolated area in Modjeska Canyon. And to the dismay of all who loved her, the remains of Maribel Ramos were found there in that desolate area on May 17th, 2013. Just 2 weeks after she disappeared. She had been murdered and her body had been dumped.
Actually, we don't know that she'd been murdered because there was no cause of death because her body was so badly decomposed.
They weren't able to technically determine how she died, but no. The fact is her body, she was dead.
Yes.
And her body was dumped.
Yes.
By the main suspect, Casey Joy.
We assume.
We'll figure it out. So he had essentially led police. I mean, how else would he know to zoom in on that area? It was him. So he had led police straight to her without even knowing it. It actually only took them 45 minutes to find her because he was so specific in that Google Map zoom. And this was like a broad, open, like desolate, isolated place.
Like, why would you even do that, though, at the library? Why would you zoom in? Like, obviously. I don't know. He must have had some desire to be caught.
Not to mention the fact, does he think, like, is he going to be able to see her or something right. on Google Maps? Like,
they redo Google Maps
every day?
Zoom in on her body?
Exactly. Like, every single day? No, they don't. They really don't, because they would have updated the front of my house already. they Google Mapped my house, like, eons before we bought it, like when it was still in foreclosure, and it's like it literally looks like
back when it was a dump,
right? Like, it literally looks like a pit falling into the ground. So I'm always like, hey, if you ever get my address, please don't Google Maps it, because that's not what our house looks like anymore.
We fixed it.
It's much prettier now. But it makes no sense that he was doing this, but he was doing it, and that's what helped them. So that's what we're gonna go with. But what would make, like, the seemingly easygoing, friendly guy snap? Well, unfortunately, Casey Joy wasn't all that he seemed. Once police dug a little deeper, they actually discovered that Casey's own sister had filed a restraining order against him due to his explosive temper.
That's very telling.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I feel like no matter what kind of family you're from, in order to file a restraining order against your sibling, it's like... I mean, that's
not good.
That's a move.
Yeah.
It's a bold movement. Unless, you know, like, they didn't grow up together or, you know, they didn't have, like, a bond. But they did
in this case. What's even stranger is, like, you figure, like, if things got that bad and under normal circumstances, if things got bad between two siblings, they would just kind of, like, cut ties and, like, not have communication. They wouldn't file a restraining order right. to keep the person away from them.
Also, he had actually moved, like, from Tennessee to California shortly after the restraining order was filed.
Yes. And his sister actually assumes that he would kind of constantly stay on the move, because like once he moved to a new location, he would cut ties with everything that was behind him. And she was fairly certain that he would do this because he was burning bridges, you know, yeah. and bad things were happening at all these spots and he had to get away.
Maybe he was killing people at every location.
That's curious. I wonder if they've ever looked into that. So in addition to his temper, Casey desperately wanted to be more than just friends with Maribel. He was obsessed with her. They had only been roommates for about 18 months, but he felt they were meant to be. He was actually so invested that this guy who couldn't pay his rent actually spent $10,000 on plastic surgeries in order to make his face look younger.
That's intense.
Yes. That's a lot. That's a lot of surgery. That's a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Casey was quite a bit older. Than the 36-year-old Maribel. He was in his 50s.
He was 19 years older. He was 55.
Yeah.
So, like, sir.
Yeah.
What you doing?
She's not interested. Like, come on. Now, granted, I think in that age bracket, it's not unheard of for two people to get together, but she clearly already was in a relationship with another person.
And she had no interest.
Right. And she, like made it clear. Right. Like, I'm not interested. Maribel just didn't have those kinds of feelings, and plastic surgery wasn't going to change that. So during this argument over rent that Maribel and Casey had, something in Casey snapped. When Maribel got back from dropping the rent check, another altercation occurred, and Maribel did not survive. Due to her body's decay, they were never actually able to determine how she was murdered, just that it wasn't by her own hand. However, Casey Joy's defense team actually claimed that Maribel may have been suicidal, though no one else close to her had anything even remotely close to that to say. I mean, this is literally a woman who had just fulfilled her dreams, finished school, had the world at her fingertips, was in love with this guy. Of course, people have mental health issues. She was a military person who could have suffered from PTSD, but it just doesn't seem likely. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to say what's going on in someone's head.
No, that's fair. So,
I mean, but I feel like there'd be no way for Casey to be the one to know that if they had cut ties, kind of.
If she wasn't sharing with him.
For the, like, months leading up.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
He was just pulling it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the defense team was doing what defense teams get paid for, you know? Casey Joy went on trial and was found guilty of the murder of Maribel Ramos. He was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison and became eligible for parole in April of 2022, then again in February of 2023. Now, I could not find a record that he was paroled.
No, he was denied.
He was denied.
Actually, three times he's been denied.
Good. Okay. Okay. Excellent. It appears that he's still incarcerated in California. I struggle with how short that sentence sounds for what he did. I mean, he ended the life of a war veteran because he couldn't get in her pants, essentially, and he needed to find a new apartment.
I feel like that's a very short period of time, but mm-hmm. considering the lack of evidence, it kind of makes sense. Like, the only reason that they, like, the only solid evidence that they had was that he Googled where her body was dumped. Right,
and he was able, yeah, he like, knew the it. Exact location. So he at least had something to do with the movement of her body.
So he was only convicted of second-degree murder.
I still struggle, but That's on me. That's on me. It's just a monstrous thing to do. And I feel that, you know, it's barely a slap on the wrist. He's about 66 years old at this point. And if he managed to murder someone at 55 and have his sister put a restraining order on him prior to that, I guess I just feel like he would still be a huge threat to society if he was released. Because clearly he's got issues that have not been worked out. And so I think that's where my concern and desire for longer sentencing kind of comes in.
I do agree. However, if all of that was just because of his temper,
yeah,
that is something that can be worked on.
It is, but will he work on it?
That's a great question. He's still to this day maintains his innocence
right.
and denies everything. And
right.
he's writing a biography.
Of course. Because, you know, what else do you do in prison?
Right.
I would totally write a biography in prison.
About
I don't
how
know
he's
about
innocent.
What. Yeah. Yeah.
So I guess he's not working on anything.
No. Yeah. Unfortunately. Unfortunately. All right. Well, that is our episode on Casey Joy. Just a reminder that New Jersey Horror Con is coming up.
So excited.
Towards the end of the month, and we cannot wait. It's in Edison this time, so we don't have to drive as far. I'm going to miss the charm of Atlantic City.
I really am.
I know. I'm going to miss the charm and, like, the chaos of being in Atlantic City and, like, wondering.
I never, ever thought I would miss Atlantic City.
I know. I know. I'm going to miss those elevators so much. It's insane.
And I'm going to miss being on the ocean.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. I think there's still water nearby, but we're not going to be, like, on the water.
I think we're, like, in,
landlocked?
Yeah.
Damn.
In New Jersey.
I don't know. I always think of New Jersey being an easy access point to a body of water. So it was just wishful thinking.
Perhaps. I mean, we're probably not going to make a drive just for that.
But that's super fair. That's super fair.
Maybe.
We're going to have other things to
you
do.
Know what? Maybe we'll make a pit stop for lunch on the way.
I love that.
It's only 2 hours away. So
yeah. 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 It'll be great. It'll be great.
We'll figure this off when we're not. Figure not- this out when we're.
Not recording. Recording. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. And also, if you're listening to this episode, tomorrow night, which is going to be Thursday, April 4th, I open a show down at the Norwalk Inn. And so if you would like to come and see me do a lot more talking and some singing and lots of other fun stuff, you can get tickets at crystaltheater.org. And you can actually check it out. If you go to, like, our Facebook page and the links in the note, or in the notes, the link in the notes, you'll be
wow,
able to.
Wow, we can speak so
I'm
well today.
I'm so good at talking right now. It's going to be great when I'm actually on stage and, like, can't edit everything.
Please, come see her.
It's going to be amazing. Come see me fall flat on my face. I have to do a faux cartwheel, and it's really bad and hysterical. I play the harmonica. I dance, and I am not a dancer, so it's just, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a really good time, so come see me. And the show runs through April 7th, and then you can watch the full solar eclipse on April 8th. So it could be a really exciting weekend for you if you do that. I highly suggest it. The show's called The Marvelous Wonderettes, by the way. I don't think I actually said that.
You did not.
Cool. And I play Betty Jean. Yeah, it's awesome.
Very exciting.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, that's it.
That's all for us today, guys. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.